Oh, thanks. Yeah, my name's Linda and I'm an addict.
Hello.
Hello, I'm very, very nervous. I thought that when, just before the readings were going out, that I was going to fit the giggles. And that made me even more nervous because I thought, I can't just sit here and giggle for 15 minutes because I would look insane. And you wouldn't get much out of it, actually. So, yeah, I thought I'd get that out of the way. I do feel really kind of self-obsessed and anxious. But, you know, as I've come into the room, it's dissipating because there are a lot of people in here that I know and that I love. Some I've known for like 10 years. Some I've known a few months. Some, you know, there's people here that have been all through my journey with me. And so in that respect, it's really good to be here, you know. Just wanted to say, I'm going to talk a little bit about treatment because I've gone back into treatment. It is 12-step. So, and that's where I am at the moment. I've kind of been there for almost 4 months. And it was a decision that I made based on the fact that I knew that if I didn't go and get some help and that I may relapse again. I had I had 7.5 years of clean time from drugs and alcohol. But during that time, and I never did treatment, I went to a day program that's sort of specific to crack and, you know, and as long as you weren't smoking crack, it was all right to do anything else. So needless to say, I didn't get too much out of that because I was pissed and on Valium most of the time. Do not swear, do not swear, do not swear. I'm not allowed to swear, am I? Right, okay, there's one. I did, you know, but then I got clean in NA. I came to meetings, I threw myself into it all. I did all the suggestions. I took on service positions, I got a sponsor, I did the steps, I'm on my third set of steps now, so I did all the steps, but I think for some people, for me in particular, I was so shut down that even though I was physically writing the steps out and intellectually I could understand what I was writing, I didn't hold them in my heart. And I didn't change in my everyday life. So there were behaviours that I didn't let go of that led me back to using. And I will be really frank about it. You know, I would swan around meetings at 5 or 6 years clean, smelling really nice and looking really nice, and everything I had on was nicked. You know, everything, the perfume, the clothes, every last little thing was nicked. So I was acting out on the shoplifting, and I kind of knew that, you know, and I thought, no, maybe this isn't right. I don't, yeah, I'm not sure, but, yeah. Anyway, I told a few people in recovery, and they said, you know, if you don't let go of that behaviour, you will end up using. I just couldn't see how that would work out. I thought, nah, it's all right, I'm clean, you know. And I went around meetings, I had 8 service commitments, I was sponsoring people, and then in my spare time, I would float up to Oxford Street and steal something. And when I wasn't stealing the clothes, I was stealing food. And I was binging on food, so much so that I put on just so much weight and I got type 2 diabetes and my disease was out of control, but because I was clean I thought I was all right. Anyway, after I say 7.5 years clean, but that was clean of drugs and alcohol, but not the other behaviours that I've just described. And my self-esteem, I refused to look at any trauma that I'd been through. I refused to look at any sort of real harms that I'd done to other people. And I kind of... I was lost. I was lost, completely lost. Anyway, there was a guy in the fellowship who was coming in and out of the fellowship. And it's really sad, really, but it's quite funny, I suppose, the way I say it. But, you know, he paid me a couple of compliments, so I moved him in. That's how low my self-esteem was. It's like, oh, you'll do, come and live with me, use and abuse, do whatever, yeah, yeah, that's fine, that's fine, that's fine. And it wasn't fine, and he was using in my flat. My friend over there turned round and she said to me, I bumped into her, and she went to me, have you used yet? And I went, no, what are you talking about? She went, you will. And it was like, still didn't listen, still didn't listen. I wouldn't listen to anybody. And anyway, the good thing about that relationship was I had been in relationships like that before that had lasted years. I was in and out of this one in a year, you know, but I did lose myself in it. And, yeah, I picked up. I'd had an operation as well. But all of these things that I kind of put me relapsing down to wouldn't have happened if I had been honest and if I really asked for help and if I'd really told people what was going on for me. Instead of doing that, I kind of backed away slowly but surely from the fellowship. I was lying to my sponsor. I told her I'd finished with this guy and kicked him out. And I actually moved him in. You know, I was just kidding myself, really. Anyway, so I managed to, I thought, the thing is, my relapse, my using, I was a street heroin addict, intravenous as a teenager in Soho. I would jack up in phone boxes in Soho. I went, because I hadn't done that since sort of late 1981. I mean, I'd got illnesses, I'd got Hep C, I'd got Hep B, I'd been in police cells, I'd been, there's carnage. It's quite a horrific story. But I didn't see it that way. I just thought some of the things that had happened, rapes, fights, you know, getting nicked, it's all part of the course, you know. It's all part of the course. And, you know, I was... sort of, I'm tough old, big old, hard old Linda, you know. I'm not going to let anyone see that it's all got to me, and it had got to me. I was a shell. Anyway, so having made the decision that I wanted out of that relationship and that I wanted to come back into recovery, but really do it this time, I threw myself back into it, and I swear to God, what would stop me picking up these days is remembering that first 30 days. I never want to go through that again. It was a nightmare. It was a daily battle, and I'm without exaggeration, it was a daily battle not to kill myself or harm myself in some way. There were scissors on the side, and I remember wanting just to shove them into my stomach. And that was awful. But one of my dear friends, who I'm missing here tonight, she was here all the time, Annie, you know, she... I had some really good friends in the fellowship that sort of stood by me, and, you know, I would phone and I'd speak to them. And after a couple of months clean, I realised that my behaviour, you know, I got clean time again. And then I realised that still my behaviours hadn't changed. I was at home. People here know me. I was at home all the time. I'd go to bed at... Thanks, Shelley. I'd go to bed at 4:30 in the morning. I'd get up at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'd spend the day on Facebook. I might go to a meeting. I wasn't paying my bills. I wasn't getting dressed half the time. And I was stuck, and I felt stuck. I felt as if most of me wanted to be in recovery, but something was holding me by the ankle. And I just felt completely stuck. So... I had to swallow my pride and go to the local substance misuse people, and I asked to go to this place because I knew it was 12-step, and all the counsellors there are in the fellowship. Well, the majority of them are in the fellowship, and they've got donkey's years clean. I walked in and I thought, I know you, I've seen you. And I immediately felt safe, immediately. So what I do there is like this one-to-one kind of therapy to look at the stuff that I've been through that I denied happened, that I wouldn't allow myself to feel, and that's been hard, but really worthwhile. And in group, it's kind of been fascinating. Some of my peers are here tonight, and I love them, really do love them. And it's been hard watching people come in and all their different defences and defects. And I remember that my first week starting there, my actual first day, this woman I walked in and she said her name and she went, well, my name's so-and-so and I'm the good girl of the group. I've never done anything really bad. I'm just, I'm an alcoholic adulteress apparently and all of this. She said, you can't sit there. You can't sit there. And I thought, I'm going to fucking have you. Sorry. There you go. This. I thought, right, got your card, Mark, love. Anyway, so the following week, I go in and I say my stuff and I go, yeah, well, I've been shoplifting, I've been at this. And somebody new had started the group and she said to him, she said exactly the same, she'd said the same patter she gave me. She said, unlike Linda and other people in the group, I've never stolen anything. And I went, zump, there he is, here's my chance. And I went, yes, you have. You've stolen other people's husbands, his peace of mind, his serenity, his trust, all of it. You know, and everyone in the group turned on me and I was really shocked. Because I was like, hand movements, like, don't talk to me. Oh, the defences, my old defences. And I started out, I was slouched back in the chair while she said, I don't have to put up with this, and marched out. And I tried to sort of put on this calm front, but inside I thought, oh my God, they all hate me and it's awful and they're going to phone me and tell me they don't want me in this group and that I'm no good and that I have to leave. And I ran out of there, and it was funny, the same part of me was going, you're mad, this is just, the same part of me had looked at what I was doing and I could see that I was in my defects. And I ran to a meeting and I bawled my eyes out and I was like, oh, they all hate me and I'm not going to be able to go back. And of course it wasn't true. And when I turned up in the group, one of the counsellors who's in NA said to me, I'm thrilled you're here, like that. And I went, thank you. And I thought, oh, it's all right. But what I learned from that was my old defects of character, when I'm nervous, there they are. Those old defences. And when I've got those defences up, I'm not a nice person. And I've got those defences up, it's ugly. It's not, it's like spitting, snarling, streety. And when I'm me, people like me, And that's the difference today. And more than that, I actually like me today. I do care what people think about me. I would have said, no, I don't at one time. But I'm actually starting to feel comfortable in my own skin. And I'm trying to remember, because we're all negative thinkers. We're all negative. And we can all draw on the negative stuff. But, there was a guy who did a chair for me at a meeting last night who I 12-stepped. I forget that I've done things like that. I forget that there's people in the fellowship that are there because they held their hand out to me and I helped them. I forget that I stand up for people on buses and on the tube, and that I will help somebody. An old lady the other day said, can you help me across the road? And I'll do that with a glad heart, And I've got to start remembering that I do that stuff, and I have got a sort of kind and gentle side. And what's, helped me with that is just, I could sit here and say to you, I've got a sponsor, I work the steps, I go to meetings, I do service, and I do all of those things. But what's different this time in my recovery is I am trying to live that as well. I'm not stealing, I'm not doing that today. And it really pisses me off when people come up to me and go, Nick, that did you? I want to go off. Do you know? I won't say it, but I can do it. And, I probably think I've said enough. I hope you could all hear me at the back, and thank you.